Okay, Sunday morning, 11:5:23. Really, I got the parts of this wrong. The first one was a living sacrifice was part one. Part two and three was the sacrifice of praise. And this is part four. This is the sacrifice of finances. So set that straight because I didn't really have them titled right. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We looked at part one of this series, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. So Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3 there. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, so once we do that, then we have decided that we're going to do God's will, not our will. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So it takes faith to do finances, right? We're trusting God to take what we have and sow it in good ground and receive a return, right? All right, with that, go to Hebrews chapter 10. All right. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where a remission of sin is, there is no more offering of sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness entered to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for his faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, that after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who shall trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So what's he saying here? We are no longer under this, we have to do this. We have to sacrifice all these things to cover everything. Jesus already did it. Now, what kind of sacrifice do we have to make? Not our will, but his will. We listen to his spirit and we act according to what he says in the area of finances. All right? We listen to him. Okay? That's why I read that. Because that's the way it used to be. Sacrifice here is the act of the victim, literally or figuratively. All right? This sacrifice is a willing act of the will to lay down your own ideas, desires, and dreams, and consenting to God's will. You could safely say that it is following the Spirit leading in all things. See, they went to the temple and they did all these physical sacrifices to cover all this stuff. But Jesus was the sacrifice. So now we just listen to the Spirit and obey the Spirit. All right? After we decide to lose our life, we put ourselves in a position to find our life. Okay, go to John chapter 10. There's still people just doing stuff because they got up and made them feel guilty about the building program or something. I remember the last place we went to, we gave a certain amount. I remember the pastor getting up there and saying, I'm really disappointed in some of you. Oh, y'all should have stepped up. There's some of you can step up. You should be stepping up. That's wrong. That's wrong. I can't stand that. That's that prophesying money out of your pocket, their pocket, or my pocket into their pocket. I can't stand that. No, God loves a cheerful, prompt to do it giver. God has to lead us in how we give or what we give. All right, this is 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I know of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus, the Father gave him a choice. He didn't say, you have to do this. No, I think he volunteered. It indicates he did. I chose to come. All right? And God is not going to make you do anything either. All right, Luke 9. You should never, ever give any other reason other than God tells you to. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall I be, the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. So, what's he saying? You have free will. But through his sacrifice, you have confidence to follow him, and he'll tell you what to do. He'll direct you what to do. Okay. Losing your life and picking up your cross is self-denial. Just plain and simple. If you struggle in any in this area, then you can understand this is also the area that God is training you in. You need this in your weak areas, not the strong areas. We looked at that in the last teaching, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because of desire of gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, I have received of Epaphroditus of the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So because of their sacrifice, God was going to supply their need. All right, Hebrews 13. Verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So it's part of it. All right. Many years ago, the Lord taught me this, many years ago, back in the guess it was the early 90s, about the grace of giving. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's not just bucket plunking because you have to. Now, I know I wouldn't get into the tithing area, but I've been kind of sensing some things in the tithing area. We've been made to feel like we gotta. Well, we shouldn't be made to feel that way. We should feel like we get to. Yeah. All right. Verse 1 there. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So we're talking about a really poor fellowship that was really struggling financially, and they gave a gift that they couldn't afford to give, but they did anyway. Why? I remember hearing Jerry Savelle talk about being in a village, and they gave him their goat, and it was their food supply for their babies. He said, that was the hardest gift I ever took, but I had to take it because they were sowing a seed. See? Well, I can't take that from you. You don't have nothing. No, they were planting what they had. Yeah. That'd be hard. That'd be a hard one. So he says that we're to excel. Right here, one last statement. As sons of God, we follow the Spirit of God. Makes sense to me. That means in all areas, not just one. Okay.